Hi guys, this is Gabby here, back with my co-host Emmy, and we are here today to talk about boundaries during the holidays, which I think boundaries is something we've definitely talked about before. We've talked about it in relationships, and we've talked about it even briefly with our families, but I think because the holidays are around the corner, and, you know, it is the week of Thanksgiving for us right now. I'm not sure what it'll be when this is released, but all these holidays are coming around. And I think this is the time where everybody feels, and everybody's heard the phrase, holiday stress.
That's right. Right?
It's like a special kind of stress reserved just for the holidays, which are supposed to be about celebration and bonding and, like, you know, seeing family members again and gifts and eating delicious food. But I think strained relationships with family members that we're kind of forced to see during the holidays can ruin that for you, right? Can have you kind of like prepping for battle.
Right.
Yeah. And so I thought, and Emmy thought, we talked about how it would be a good idea to touch on some of the ways that you should be setting boundaries during the holidays, how to figure out what boundaries to set, how best to set them, and how to make sure that they are, that they continue to be in place for you and your family. Right. And so, yeah. You know, I think that in prepping for the holidays, the normal stressors that we see, I don't know if you can think of some, Emmy, as well, but, you know, like having to cook for a bunch of people.
That's right.
You know, prepping for questions that you know you're going to be asked that you don't necessarily want to answer.
That's right.
You know, having to see family members that you have strained relationships with. Right. There's so many little things. Like, and what are these things that cause you stress? What's coming up for you, right?
Yeah, and in at least in Cuban families, we also have like one side of the family, the other side of the family, like what you're saying, who are we going to invite? And
exactly.
It's like, is it only going to be with one side of the family or the other side of the family? Or if you have in-laws, are you doing with the in-laws? And then how are you going to coordinate the time? And are you going to be jumping from one house to the other to the other?
Yeah.
When I was a young mother of three, we were always like jumping. We would spend Thanksgiving Day jumping from one house to the other to the other.
Yeah.
Christmas, the same thing. And
yeah.
So it's important to figure those things out too.
Right. Right.
And set your boundaries around that.
Exactly. Right. Like is jumping from house to house every Thanksgiving working for you? Right? Would it be easier to do every other Thanksgiving at a different family member's house, right? Almost like, you know, how the court system sets it up when there's a divorce, where it's like one Thanksgiving with mom, one Thanksgiving with dad, or one Thanksgiving with one side of the family and one Thanksgiving with the other, mom, dad, however, whatever dynamic you have in the family, but, you know, you're split up in that way.
Mm-hmm. And we ended up doing something like that when the kids were little, because it was just getting to be too much. And what we did was, 1 year it was Thanksgiving at one house and Christmas at the other. And the following year it would be Thanksgiving at the other house and Christmas. So we would switch off every year, Christmas Eve, because in our family, Christmas Eve is a big deal. And we do a big thing with the family. So it was like Christmas Eve one year and Thanksgiving with the in-laws, and then the following year it was Christmas Eve with the in-laws and Thanksgiving with my family. And so we switched it up like that. The beginning was hard because, of course, your family wants to be with you, right? And so it's like, oh, but, you know, it's like one or the other. It's difficult, but it was something that we just felt, number one, that it was safer to be doing that with the three kids little in the car.
Right.
And number two, we weren't really giving either side quality time.
Exactly.
And we weren't getting quality time with them. It was by the time we finished saying hello, it was time to move then to the other house.
Yeah. Yeah. See, and I think that's a great idea that will work better for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be considered a boundary, right? If you recognize the stressors that this brings you and you decide it's bypassing a question, right? It's letting your family know, like, hey, this jumping back and forth is too stressful. So starting this year, we're going to do every other house each year. We'll switch off for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. And it's what's going to be best for everyone as far as quality time and the peace that it's going to bring me.
Yeah, my son and my daughter-in-law, what they do is her family tends to eat earlier than we do. And so they do something earlier, like a lunch or something, and then we do the dinner. And so that may work if you need to, you know, if you want to be at both, you know, at both holidays at both houses, then that may be an option too. One can do lunch and the other one dinner. And so that works for them, right? So they all have, you know, they've decided that what, you know, what they're doing, and they have two kids, so it's easier for them to do something like that.
Yeah. And that's what I think I did, if I remember correctly. I've been going to Georgia for Thanksgiving now. And I think it started because of the stress of deciding what house to go to, honestly, where I've been going to Georgia with my best friend and her family for a few years now. You know, her one of her kids is my godchild, and you know, she is like my family. And so I've just kind of bypassed that one holiday and saved myself the stress and started going to Georgia, where I'm not picking mom or dad's side, you know?
Right.
And it feels like that a lot of the time, which I know can be difficult for people, where they feel guilty or they feel pressured. And that's, you know, one of the main things that happens after you set a boundary that you should be prepared for is pushback.
Correct.
You know, your family is usually this group of people that feels most comfortable telling you exactly how they feel. And they won't mince their words. They won't be cautious about them. Like, they'll tell you, you know, exactly how they feel. They will push back. They're going to resist your boundaries. And, you know, on the one end, that's even more conversation that those boundaries are needed.
Right.
You know,
and this is the thing with boundaries too, right? We expect, we think that the responsibility is for the outside world to respect our boundaries, right? But the responsibility is our responsibility to make sure that our boundaries are respected.
Yes.
It's not everybody else's responsibility to do that. People are going to want to break your boundaries and ask you to come and beg and all of that, but it falls on you to say, no, this is my boundary. This is what I need to do. And the more you do that, and the more you respect your own boundaries, that's when others will start respecting them.
Yep.
But if you don't, it's like, well, okay, let me see. And you know, you sway back and forth and you're unsure. Then that is when they're like, well, she doesn't care either way. So, you know, they try and convince you otherwise.
Yeah.
And so the respect of the boundaries is your responsibility to respect your boundaries, just like it's somebody else's responsibility to have their own boundaries and for us and for them to respect their own boundaries. Right.
Yeah.
And once we start seeing that, then it's like, oh, no, that's not what they do. You know, they do this and they do this every year. And so once they see that you're respecting your own boundaries, then people will do that.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. And so I love that you said that, Emmy, because there's so much truth to that. It's exactly what you said, and I'll repeat it. It's nobody's responsibility but your own to respect your boundaries. And so when people ignore you, guilt you into trying to change your mind, telling you you're being unreasonable, so on, whatever it is that people are kind of badgering you with, you can't let those things deter you. You have to stand firm. And standing firm doesn't mean getting into a fight, right? And I think that's another thing that people setting boundaries kind of prep for battle.
Right.
And they will be ready to fight back. And so it's just in setting those boundaries, you have to speak in a calm, simple, direct way. So it's letting the person know that this is your choice. And so it's speaking in I statements. It's like, it's not saying like, you guys stress me out so much during the holidays that I can't be bouncing from house to house. So I'm just doing one every year. That's putting a whole lot of blame on other people and very little on like the reason that you need boundaries, which is for you. Right. And it's just calmly telling people, you know.
And look, it's when people want to try to break your boundaries, many times it's because they want out of love, right? They want you to be with them. They want you to share that time with them. They're not going through all that trouble for people that they don't want to spend time with. Right. So if they're doing that, and that's the place that you can come from, like, I'm wanted so much, or I'm loved so much that they want me to break the boundaries, right?
Exactly.
And so you don't even have to consider even like, let me brace myself for war. Let me brace myself for the conflict. Let me brace my, it doesn't have to be that hard. It can be as simple as, I can't, this is what I'm doing. And then it's just sticking with it. And the more you do that, then the more they see that you respect your boundaries and they'll do the same.
Yeah. And so, you know, one of the things that is, you know, I think Todd's talked about it before as with couples in one of our podcasts, which he talks about like the equation when you're expressing something that you feel or when you're setting a boundary. And he says, it's, I feel blank when blank. So I feel blank is the emotion that you're feeling when blank, whatever behavior it is that you don't like or whatever thing that's happening that you can't do anymore because, or, but, you know, like what the effect the behavior has on you. So it's kind of like, feel very overwhelmed, anxious, and tired when I have to hop from house to house during the holidays with all the kids, because it puts a lot of work on me, a lot of pressure on them, and they get very little time to interact with their family, which is what's most important here. I'm going to start doing one house at a time. And obviously this is just one example of a boundary for a holiday.
Right.
But it's, you know, stating why it is that you're doing this, what it is it makes you feel, and then making a clear solution for it that you will be following. So it isn't like you asking your family, do you think it would be okay if I did this next year?
Right.
Right.
That's a good
point. I think the conversation's going to come up anyway, but there's certain things that need a conversation, right? If you're asking your family members for help when you're planning a holiday party, right? If you need more assistance, like let's make it a potluck, everybody bring a plate. Like I'm too stressed to do this. Then you would ask your family, how do you guys feel about each bringing a plate? So it's a little less stressful for me next year. That deserves a question. You know, and there's a lot of different ways in which you'll set boundaries, right? Gift giving. There needs to be some boundaries there sometimes, mm-hmm. especially for your kids, right? I think if your family's telling inappropriate jokes in front of your very young kids or having inappropriate conversations in front of your very young kids and you want to stop that from happening, there's different boundaries to be set there. Or if someone's sober, mm-hmm. right? And family members are offering drinks and being pushy about it.
Correct.
That's an important one.
That's an important one.
That's an important boundary to set, but there's so many, you know?
And I think the main thing, one of the main things to keep in mind is what I said, which is it's your boundary. It's not their boundary. And so it's your responsibility to do that. So if you're not drinking, just say, no, thank you.
Yeah.
And, you know, just you are the ones that are, you know, are going to set the boundaries.
Exactly. Exactly.
And respect them. You know,
exactly. And sometimes just saying no is a boundary.
Correct.
You know,
such a good point.
No explanation, that nothing else needs to be said. No, thank you. Exactly what you just said. I mean, that's a boundary enough. You don't need to explain yourself in certain scenarios, you know,
right.
a no is enough. And it's keeping that boundary in place, being consistent. It won't always be respected the first, second, third, or fourth time. Like, this is a boundary that I think in our minds, or at least I hear it a lot from my patients, they'll tell me, you know, boundaries don't work with my family. Mm-hmm. And I always say, it's not your family's choice.
Right.
At that point, it is not your family's choice. You can set that boundary and continue to set it. And if you have to remove yourself from a situation every once in a while, take a break, take a step outside, you know, ask to be excused.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Enough, you know?
That's enough. And the thing is that one of, and we've talked about this, you know, I've talked about it on blogs, on one of my blogs before. And I think we may have talked about this on a previous podcast, but also it's the manuals, right? We coaches call them manuals that we have for others. And what it is we have instructions, an instruction manual for others to follow. And when we expect others to follow our instruction manual, we're always going to be disappointed. Always, 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 because we don't have control. They don't have to follow what we say, and we don't have control over whether they do or not. Right. And so we get very frustrated because it's like what you said, Gabby, where it's like, my family is not following my boundaries. My family's this, my this, that, my mother, this, my dad, but it's not, they're going to end up doing whatever it is they're going to do. They're either going to respect your boundaries. They're not going to respect your, but they're going to ask you over and over again to please. But so it's not you having the expectation of them. Again, it's bringing it back to you and what you need to do around that. But if we try and have, even like for spouses, we tend to have manuals for spouses, and we've talked about this in the past. But for example, like, he doesn't take out the garbage. Like, it's a thing, you know, like he has to take out the garbage. It's like, no, you take it out then, right? It's like, if he's not taking it out, then you have this manual that he has to be taking out, or she has to be taking out the garbage, right?
Right.
Or he has to be doing the dishes, or he, right? And so, but when we do that,
the same with family members.
The same with family members. It's like, we're going to be disappointed repeatedly because people are going to do what they want to do. They're not going to follow whatever we want them to follow. Unless they want to. They
have a different manual.
They have a different manual, and they have a manual for us, right?
Yeah.
They have a manual for us. And so you can decide whether you want to follow that manual or not. And and so that is a big one, where we're expecting people to do what we tell them to do, and they're not, unless they choose to do so. It's up to them, just like it's up to you then to make sure that you set your ground rules and stick to them, and make sure, and that way people will follow.
Exactly, exactly. And sometimes that means causing uncomfortable situations, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. There are family members that bulldoze those boundaries and do what they want either way, no matter how nicely or calmly you ask. And I don't want anybody, you know, in listener land listening to this and being like, yeah, that sounds great on paper, but, you know, once you get there, it's not as easy to keep in the forefront. And that's why we talked about, you know, the need to continuously set these boundaries. And, you know, sometimes it's giving a consequence when the boundary isn't met. Right? Like, hey, you need to speak to me respectfully in front of my kids.
Right.
Or you need to not make jokes like that when the kids are around, or I'm going to have to leave.
Right. But the condition is you, right? Or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that.
Exactly.
It's not about you have to do this, right?
Exactly. Like, it's all I statements. And that's one of the biggest things in setting boundaries. It's it's making sure you are using those I statements and making it clear that it's your feelings. So at the end of the day, the blame isn't really being placed on anyone, even if they deserve blame. Right. I think a lot of the time we feel so angry that we want to place that blame, and that's how our words come out. But at the end of the day, take ownership of your feelings and your boundaries and set them with that tone. It will be easier for people to digest them and understand, you know?
Correct.
I think in these cases, it's just about repetition and staying firm and consistent in setting those boundaries.
Right.
You know.
And they're right. And they're going to want to come back to you like over and over and over again.
Right.
It's just your responsibility then to go back and say, this is how I'm doing things. This is the way I'm doing.
Yeah.
And the more you do it, then the more. And other times it's not. I mean, other times you have a boundary and people will respect it. You know, it's like it's not all about not, you know, respecting them. But for those that are having trouble getting people to respect their boundaries, it may also be coming, not to put the not to put the blame on you, but it also may be coming from your place of not being strict with your boundaries.
Exactly.
Exactly. And keeping them.
Exactly. And so just to kind of backtrack a little about everything we talked about, you know, setting your boundaries, you should use I statements, recognize, take ownership for your feelings, explain why you feel that way, and then set a boundary. If a question is necessary, ask the question, but it's still with the goal of setting that boundary. Another thing we mentioned is to stay firm. You're going to receive pushback. You know, if especially if your family is very used to things being one way and you're suddenly switching things up on them, pushback is pretty natural. And so just keep in mind what Emmy said, which is very important, is that your boundaries are your responsibility to keep, not your family's. Correct. And speak in a calm, concise, clear, direct way. Right? It's not like yelling, I'm not doing this shit anymore. That's probably not the healthiest way to set a boundary.
Right. And what may help with that is also in bringing one of the things that we talked about and helping with that, it may come from, look at it from a place that they're coming from a place of love and not necessarily from a place of being antagonistic or anything like that. It's just they're it's coming from a place of love. They want to spend the time with you.
Exactly. And they might not love you the way you need to be loved, right? Everybody makes mistakes. Some are much worse than others. But I think it's recognizing that sometimes your family's mistakes are something you still hold at the forefront of your mind when you're going back into these, right? A lot of the times it's kind of like bringing back some trauma for people.
Yeah.
Especially if you have parents with that have any kind of past of maybe alcohol or drug abuse, you know, this is very, very common. And so going back to spend the holidays with them can trigger a lot of things that happened. Or if, you know, your parents are divorced and they end up talking badly about each other to you when you're at their house, that can be very stressful and uncomfortable too. And these are some important boundaries to set because, you know, you shouldn't have to sit there and listen to that if it's not something you're comfortable with.
Right.
And being clear about that in a kind way.
Absolutely.
And, you know, step number one, which is maybe where everyone can start. If you're like, where do I even figure this out? How do I even find out where my holiday stress is coming from? And a lot of that is just like trying to pay attention to your thoughts. Right? If you are catching yourself thinking about, if you're catching yourself thinking about this movement towards the holidays and everything that needs to happen, what parts of this process are on your mind the most? That's a pretty good indication of what it is that's stressing you out. You know, we make up stories in our heads all the time of the what ifs. What are those stories that you're making up in your head, right? Pay a little more attention and you'll be able to see. And then you can kind of sit down, write it out, maybe make a plan, try to think of ways on paper that you can, that the situation can shift and some of the stress could be taken off of you.
Right. And, you know, sometimes we function from a place of assumption. No, they're going to say this or they're going to say that or they're going.
Yeah, we're making up stories.
We're making up stories. And our brain is really making us believe that they're true.
Yeah.
Right. And if there's anything, and this I tell my clients all the time, the only thing we have control over is our thoughts, right?
Yep.
Which drive our feelings and our actions.
Yeah.
And so things can be going on around you, the war, the politics, the whatever's going on around you can be going on around, and you don't have control over that, but you do have control over the way you think. And so if there's a thought that keeps coming up for you that is not serving you, regardless of whether it's true or not, if you want to, you know, I have clients that argue with me that their thought is really, really true. So let's just assume that even if you really believe it's a true thought, ask yourself, does it really serve you?
Yeah.
And do I want to continue thinking that? Right?
Right.
How can I change that up?
Exactly. And I mean, those thoughts sometimes come where very naturally, especially because that is what anxiety does. Anxiety brings about automatic negative thoughts. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those, like you said, Emmy, are stories that we're making up in our head that we truly believe, our body believes, that we have physiological reactions. We get angry, our heart rate speeds up. And so it's recognizing that those are the things we think might happen. And sometimes we're thinking these things and it's irrational and nothing's really going to happen. But other times we're thinking these things because it's happened every Thanksgiving since we can remember.
Right.
And so it's differentiating those things and then taking the ones that have happened often and deciding, okay, how can I set a boundary here? How can I make sure that this doesn't happen again? You know,
correct. And which leads me to, this is a segue to another point that I want to make sure I don't forget, is that we know what our boundaries are. A lot of the times we don't know, we don't even know what our boundaries are. And if we don't know what they are, we can't enforce them. So what are your boundaries? Do you know what your boundaries are? So let's start there. Sometimes it's like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to go eat here. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. But then what happens is that we're not really clear on what it is that, on what our boundaries are. And so knowing right. what our boundaries are from the onset, then it's going to be much easier for you to be able to control them and make sure they're respected.
Right. Which is what we were just
correct.
Talking about now, where you can write it out. Pay attention to what it is you're thinking, because that is where your anxiety lies. And that is where the situation needs to change. And that might be exactly where you need to set some boundaries. And so just paying attention to what it is you're thinking and what your anxious thoughts are saying to you can help you figure out what your boundaries need to be.
Right. And in adding to Gabby's point about writing them down, the thoughts down, sometimes we believe that the reason that we don't want to, go to two or three houses at the same time is maybe because of the time or the traffic, but maybe there's an underlying thought in there that has nothing to do with that. And we're thinking it's the traffic, but there's an underlying thought there that we're not aware of that's blocking us from being able to yeah. meet the boundary and move forward on that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
And writing it out will always be helpful, because
correct.
That underlying thought eventually comes out. You know,
correct.
We've talked a lot about how when we're in our own minds, it's like a hamster on a wheel. You could be repeating the same thing over and over again. Like what you were saying, Emmy, I'm not going to have time. Like there's no way, the traffic and this and that and the three houses. And I don't even know how I would get to do this. And you could be going through that thought for 3 days straight and getting nowhere fast, you know? And when you write it out, we've been taught from a very young age to write in a certain way. We need complete thoughts. We need a beginning, a middle, and an end. We need a resolution. There needs to be, you know, we've been kind of bombarded with this idea that when we write complete sentences and finish your thought. And so that's helpful, because you will end up writing a little bit more and thinking a little bit deeper,
right.
because you're not going to be writing the same thing over and over again.
Right. And the more,
so that's
the
why
more,
it's helpful to write.
Right. And the more you do these thought, we call them thought downloads, but the more you do these thought downloads, the more that things start coming out. So you
yeah.
may start with the one that's, number one in your head, but then as you dig a little bit deeper and you write and start taking, once you start doing thought downloads, these thoughts you're taking them out of your head. So then what happens
yeah.
is another thought will reveal itself.
Exactly.
And so that's what allows you to then dig deeper into if there is something else, what really is the issue here?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I love that little phrase, thought download, because that's exactly what it is. Right. Whatever is like on the back burner that your anxious thoughts are not, you're not able to see past your anxious thoughts. This little thought download or journaling or writing it out will help you get to those backlogged thoughts.
Right.
Yeah. And in those, you can figure out, where do I need to set a boundary? Where am I being irrational? Like, where is my anxiety making zero sense? And where is this fear coming from a place that's understandable? And I need to implement some changes, set some boundaries.
Right.
Yeah. And so I think hopefully we have helped everyone out there in listener land a little bit as far as family boundary goes. And, you know, in closing out, I think I can say that keeping those things in mind, and maybe you're not ready to start setting those boundaries this year, but you can start to think about it, right? Have your eye on it. If you go to Thanksgiving dinner this week, figure out what it is that stressed you out. What didn't feel good about it? What felt like it could change? And start there, right?
Right. That's a good point. You can start there. And then I don't know, for whoever celebrates Christmas or the upcoming holidays, then it's like, oh, this is what happened in Thanksgiving. I'm going to change it here. And then maybe next year, then you have your situation changes or whatever. And then you have to make adjustments to that. And then you can go ahead, or you know yourself better now, and then you can make adjustments to that.
Exactly. Baby steps.
Baby steps.
Yeah.
But and before I close, I wanted to say that Gabby is a licensed marriage and family therapist. And so she's very good when it has to do with relationships, and not only dating couples relationships, but family relationships too. So
thank you.
I just wanted to make sure people knew that.
You know, it's awesome. It's awesome when we get to do these things together, because I get your point of view as a life coach. And you know, a lot of the times, you'll word things in a way that's so amazing that I steal from you all the time, and I use it with my clients. And you've done this a few times. Like right now, I know that I am going to do thought downloads. It's part of my vocabulary. And so that kind of, just to full circle it here, when it comes to boundaries with family, you have to recognize what those negative thoughts are in order to make those changes, in order to set those boundaries, or you know, process that thought in a more useful way. Like, okay, this is my negative thought right here. How can I adjust this thought to be helpful to me in this process? You know, maybe I do have to set a boundary. Maybe I just have to shift my thinking.
Correct. Which again, it's great news, because we have control over our thinking and our thoughts.
Exactly. And it's so important.
Yeah.
It's and I so think important. This is, I love it.
Yeah. I think this is a good place to wrap up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have control. You have control. You have control, because we control our thoughts. So,
yes.
And I think it's a wrap, Gabby.
That's a wrap.
Bye. Happy holidays. Bye.
Yes. Happy holidays to everybody in listener land.
Bye-bye.
Bye.